Hey friends, you're in for a treat today. One of my favorite journalists, Cheryl Chumley of the Washington Times. She's got a brand new book out, God Given or Bust. We'll talk about that next on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in, listening, watching, sharing the podcast. And Cheryl Chumley, of course, she's been with us before. She's the online opinion editor of the Washington Times and host of a great podcast called The Bold and Blunt. And she's also a best-selling author, of course, public speaker, frequent media guest for national audiences. And she also is a certified private investigator. I don't know if you knew that about her. An Army veteran and the mother of four. Cheryl Chumley, welcome back to Worldview Matters. Good to see you.
It's so great to be with you, David. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and congratulations on the brand new book. I mean, this one is hot off the presses, I mean, within a matter of weeks. So it's great. God Given or Bust, there's the title. Subtitle, Defeating Marxism and Saving America with Biblical Truths. Let's start with, before we get into the book, we've got to talk about the inauguration and what's been happening with executive orders and the resistance, the doubling down of some on the left. Let's talk about the foreword by Jack Hibbs. How did that connection come to be? And just share with us a little bit about that, because a lot of our audience would be thrilled to hear that.
As I was thrilled when he agreed to write the foreword. Pastor Jack Hibbs is a pastor whom I've long admired, and I tune into his sermons and his preachings frequently. And over the last few years, I've gotten to know him a little bit. I was invited at one point a couple years ago to go out and share the stage with him and speak about politics mixed with religion, which is something that I think this nation has forgotten is actually in our DNA. Too many pastors are afraid to do that. And he's one of the few who does regularly. So, when I was coming up with this book, the topic and the title, he was my go-to. He was my number one pick to write the foreword. And I'm so grateful that he agreed to do it.
He's a blessing. He's been on our podcast. And what the problem, big problem in America is the lack of pulpits, pastors, preachers talking about quote unquote politics, social issues, quote controversial issues. But these are all issues of morality, and the Bible speaks to everything that we're seeing. And unfortunately, it's such a minority of churches are speaking about these things. Even what some of the truths that you go through in God Given or Bust, and we'll share a little bit more, have you share that in a minute. I mean, a lot of pastors, I think, might be either they're afraid to talk about these things, or they're ignorant to our founding, or ignorant about our founding, and that our rights truly do come from God, and we better stand on those principles. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think a lot of pastors, a lot of churches, a lot of Christians in general in this country have gotten browbeaten by the left into believing that if you talk about God-given rights and liberties, which is really the definition of American exceptionalism, or you talk about the need to bring faith out of the Sunday pulpits and Sunday churches into regular life, Monday through Saturday as well, that they automatically go to some sort of Bible-thumping type of vision in their minds. And that's not what God-given individual liberties and rights are about, right? It's just as put forth in the Declaration of Independence that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we're endowed by our Creator, meaning God, certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And secondly, that governments are only put in place in order to preserve and protect what we already have at birth. So we're not talking Bible thumping. We're not talking preaching. We're just talking about recognizing that as an individual, we have rights and liberties that come from God, and government is supposed to be the public servant to protect those rights.
Amen. And I want to go to your previous book, just to mention it briefly, Socialists Don't Sleep, and talk about what's happening in America right now. You can put Marxists there, you can put the left, you can put radicals, but Socialists Don't Sleep. when we had good success based on that election when Trump was reelected, right? So now, great, we got a new administration in. The left is not going away. Socialists are not taking a nap for a couple of years, right? Talk to us a little bit about the fact that we better not be naive about the fact that they're not going to relent on their agenda, and many of them are doubling down. Go ahead, Cheryl.
All true. And excuse the smiling, because when you say President Trump, I just say it gets me so happy thinking President Trump, not President Harris, right?
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Oh. If we look at this, you know, President Trump's opening days, it's like, boom, boom, boom. Talk about defeating Marxism, right?
Right.
It's really a good time for America. But to go to your point, here's the caveat, right? The solution for long-term liberty in America, it cannot be found in our political world, right? That's important. And it's very important for Christians, particularly those who understand God, meaning those who understand the concept of God-given rights and liberties, to be involved in politics and culture, to vote, to choose proper candidates who recognize the Constitution, and so forth. But if we want to go for our long-term liberty, our individual rights and individualism over collectivism, we have to recognize that God must be at the helm in America. And to put God back in charge means that we go beyond the political battles and we wage the spiritual battle that we in the Christian world know that we're already tasked with doing. After all, the battle of principalities is very real.
So in the description of the book, just what you were just saying, the only way to do this is for Americans of faith, the church, to rise up and inject biblical values and godly principles into government, culture, and society, and put God once again at the center. So let's talk about President Trump now. Let's talk about his near-death experience, I guess you might want to call it, the assassination attempt, and how even he and those around him are looking at it as a miraculous event, something that, I mean, a razor thin margin of error there between getting his ear shot and turning his head and him not even being here anymore. He realizes that. And I think, how do you think that's going to affect him? And I would just get your overall take on that fact. And now he thinks he's here for a purpose.
Well, first off, we're all here for a purpose, right? It's not just Trump was chosen by God to lead Amen. The free world for the next 4 years. We all have roles to play that have yes. been specifically and specially chosen by God. So let's not set Good Donald point. Trump ahead and above every other American who's just as important in God's eyes.
Good but point.
Second off, I listened to his inaugural speech, and I found that it was a great speech. And what struck me was that as much as it was bold and decisive in spelling out his political agenda, it was actually very spiritual in tone. And he talked about, we are not going to lose our country, we're not going to lose our Constitution, we are not going to lose our God. And I think that perhaps that openness, that open expression of God. And he said several more references too that struck me as more spiritual and faith-filled than political. I think that probably is born, in part at least, to his recognition that he was saved by something greater than himself in order to fulfill a purpose. And he's had a lot of time between his administrations to think about how he's going to best carry forth a pro-America, America First agenda. And I think this time it comes around with a little bit maybe more humility on his part that, you know, it's more than just politics. There's a spirit that drives America and there's a spirit that drives him.
Isn't one of the things I was thrilled about in the first couple of days, getting us out, us meaning America, out of the World Economic Forum, out of the WEF? What are your thoughts on that? Because I remember in his first administration when he was making a speech in New York, I think, to the UN, and he said America will never be a globalist nation. And he already had a target on his back, but that he just created more enemies when he said that. So your thoughts on the executive order and the WEF?
So just to remind your listeners and watchers why that was so very important, right? We're not talking just about the COVID crazy and all that. And mm-hmm. World Health Organization mishandling that. We're talking also about the fact that WHO, under Joe Biden, brought forth this very dangerous treaty that would have stripped America of all her sovereignty. It would have put one guy, one communist guy, with the World Health Organization, in charge of declaring health emergencies around the world. And once declared, then tasking a group of specially chosen doctors, right, to that area to best determine how the world ought to respond in order to contain this emerging health threat. And we're not talking simply viruses. It could have been a climate change threat, right? And so America, as part of that treaty, would have had to abide whatever the World Health Organization's communist chief said to do, which, if you look at what WHO did during the COVID, to push the lockdowns, to push the clampdowns on freedoms, to push all those very anti-American, anti-free actions that we all had to endure for so many years. So we dodged a big bullet with that.
Astounding what could have happened. It really is how close that was. And I think most people weren't even aware of that. So, friends, I just want to give you a couple of the websites, CherylChumley.substack.com. Also, over at the WashingtonTimes.com, you can get the Bold and Blunt podcast. I love one of the recent ones, Cheryl. Donald Trump's MAGA is on the march. I love hearing that rather than Marxism on the march, as we've experienced over the last 4 years. And over on Amazon.com, you can look up the book God Given or Bust. Right at the top in America, either rights, very simple, you state either either rights come from God or they don't. This is the ultimate war. And God Given or Bust tells how patriots can win. So, Cheryl, to even get President Trump reelected, do you think more people got off the bench and into the game, so to speak? Maybe more people were awakened by the left overplaying their hand in the last 4 years? What from 2020, what happened in COVID and beyond that with the transgenderism and everything else? Do you think more people suddenly said, all right, I don't care what they think, I'm going to get involved in politics? What do you think?
Well, I do, and I do like to think that it was because of the overreach of Democrats, the absolute lunacy that went along with the transgender movement that drove people to the polls. But you and I both know that, that you know, most Americans outside a very small bubble, right, that their politics are just, they're not as, you know, every day dealing with politics and culture. And what moves them during the vote are things like the economy and security. And safety. And thankfully, you know, sadly, because our nation was brought so low on those points, but thankfully, we had Donald Trump coming forth and campaigning specifically on inflation, on rising costs, and on the border, which once again was top concern because Americans were seeing firsthand in their own backyards the absolute folly and wickedness of Joe Biden's open border policies that welcomed in even, you know, thuggish, violent gang members and treated them as if they were actual law-abiding American citizen wannabes.
So do you, I mean, have you ever heard a reasonable response from a Democrat about why they supported open borders? Have you ever heard something that makes sense?
Yeah, so they all couch it in terms of humanity, right? Love for humanity. And I think of Nancy Pelosi a few years going down to the border to campaign for more open borders at a time when we were having violent gang members come in and kill people. And she was talking about those gang members as God loves them too. They're God's children too. So, you know, they drag out their Bibles and constitutions and love for humanity when it's politically pragmatic. But I can tell you that it seems to me Democrats who do want to do the proper thing on border control are quickly silenced by the more leftist forces in their party. And I point to Mayor Eric Adams in New York City, for example, right? He came out about a year ago and he talked about the need for Joe Biden to start tightening the border because his city was being overrun with illegals who were being bused there at taxpayer expense, right? Yeah. And what happened to him? He quickly was denounced by members of his own party. And if you look at this recent Laken and Riley bill on Capitol Hill, it was passed with, I think there was, what, 46, 47 Democrats in the House, and there were several Democrats in the Senate who signed it too. So there are Democrats, thankfully, who still believe in tight borders.
Either that or they're sensing the political wind
Yes.
shift, right?
They're up for re-election. Yeah. So no, I've never heard, to answer your question concisely, I've never heard a Democrat really give a good reason for opening borders wide.
And by the way, we've got to take a brief pause with Cheryl Chumley. But by the way, theologically, what Pelosi said, every human being is created in the image of God, imago Dei, and has rights and value and is worthy of protection, but including from the womb to the elderly. But not every human being is a child of God. Those who believe in Christ and put their faith and trust in him, we are adopted in the family of God, our children of God, but not every human being, because unbelievers are not children of God. There is a spiritual dynamic here. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Friends, if you're listening to this podcast via audio, we would love for you to leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. It helps us rise in the rankings, and praise God, and thanks to you, it's been doing just that. So also, we have a brand new YouTube channel, and that is Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo, no spaces, and you can search Worldview Matters on YouTube. Thanks, guys. Also, our Rumble channel, that's growing. Thank God, and maybe even more on Facebook when they put the videos out on the Freedom Project Facebook page. But I want to read a review. We're speaking with Cheryl Chumley. The book is God Given or Bust, and great reviews, by the way. Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, said this: Cheryl Chumley in God Given or Bust has not only shown why God matters in America and how faith is tied to freedom, but also how the idea of God-given rights and liberties as envisioned by our founding fathers actually works and pragmatically plays for both individual and country. This is a powerful book that moves the concept of God-given off paper and into real life. So back with Cheryl Chumley, the idea of God-given. Earlier in the podcast, you mentioned American exceptionalism. I think in the last maybe 5, 10 years, that is almost seen as a derogatory idea, and it's because we've gotten so far away of the tradition, the basics, the founding fathers. Your thoughts on that?
Barack Obama really ushered in that excuse me, age of apologizing for America, right? When he did that world apology tour when he was first elected. And you know, American exceptionalism is something that is seen around the world as something to strive for. You know, there's a reason why people try and get into America, and it's not as if we're seeing this this flow of people trying to leave America. I mean, even though Hollywood celebrities always say they will when a Republican's going to win, right? They never
Right.
do. So there really is no better place. And that is because we do recognize that government in its proper role is a servant, and it's supposed to be a humble servant to the people. And really, there is no other nation in the world that recognizes God as the gifter of rights and liberty. That is something that is uniquely American, and it is the foundation of our exceptionalism.
Well, by the people and for the people, right? You said something very important, the government. And in the description of your book, it says something very concerning. And I agree with this. America has been turning into a country where the government grants rights and privileges to only those the government deems worthy. So they're taking the place of God, right? And takes rights from those it deems unworthy. This is not how the founding fathers envisioned the nation. How big of a problem is the lack of ignorance when it comes to true American history and what they're not being taught in the government-run schools? What do you think, Cheryl?
Well, it's a huge problem, and you can see how it manifests just over the last few years. Take the phrase Christian nationalist, right? And how that very, very benign phrase, something that it should be welcomed and embraced. You know, if you call me a Christian nationalist, I'll say, yeah, I am, because
Thank you.
That Actually, we're all supposed to be, right? I mean, that's the ideal. And but to turn that into a negative, as if it's automatically something to run from, that just shows the level of ignorance that we've seen over the last few years, over the last couple decades. And it's in due partly because people are turning from God. The churches are having trouble remaining relevant in modern day. But we're also seeing the school systems and their failures to teach proper history and civics lessons and the beauty of the Constitution.
Okay, so the book Friends is on Amazon, God Given or Bust. Back to your podcast for a minute. And one of the things you recently, or your Substack, one of the things you recently talked about is DEI. And as most of us understand, that stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. DEI finally frying in the fires of American exceptionalism. I love it. And then there's a little underneath, dear Marxists, you can go home now. Yes. I mean, I think a lot of people are just cheering this kind of rhetoric now, Cheryl, because as you said, they did overplay their hand. But let's talk about how deeply entrenched DEI is. And it's not going to go away with one executive order, unfortunately, although the administration can do some work in government. But there's definitely a cash cow. I've got an article here where it says spending on DEI related efforts across the globe totaled $7.5 billion in 2020, and that obviously increased. And the Biden administration was pushing it, I think, at every level, including the military. DEI principles were attached to more than $1 billion in federal contracts last year. So, Cheryl, I love the direction, I love the boldness, I love the executive orders. But I think people need to be continually reminded that there's a lot of damage that has already been done and a lot of uprooting that needs to take place, right?
Yeah, because the executive orders can address, the policy, and the executive orders, by addressing the policy, can then impact the funding. But what the executive orders don't address really is the mindset shift that's taken place in America over the last few years that allowed DEI to take root and spread as rapidly and as expansively as it has. So until we address that, which requires a sort of re-education of what America is all about, a sort of reawakening to the idea of God-given rights and liberties. Until that can take place, then DEI is always going to be sort of haunting in the background, right? Just waiting for the right political wind to usher it back in again. So we've got 4 years of Donald Trump, but what next? Maybe JD Vance. Okay, so then 4 years of him. But what next, right? Sooner or later, Democrats will be back in charge and they will be re-energized to reintroduce all these Marxist policies that have been put to the side right now.
And I like what you said. It's like America is becoming America again. But it's going to take time because this was so deeply entrenched. Look at our college campuses. And by the way, let's just go out to LA and talk about the fires. If there's a fire in my neighborhood or close to my home, I don't care if you're gay, I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're Hispanic or white. I want the best qualified firefighter or emergency worker to handle that. But DEI just took us in a different direction, obviously, that wasn't merit-based, and the president spoke to that. I think he even mentioned that in his inauguration. So, Cheryl, I think we've gotten away from, and that's just common sense. You want the best qualified person to do the job, whether it's the fire department or the police or the military, right?
You're right. It is common sense, right? And it's astonishing on one level to see that there are still people who support the Democrat leadership out there in California. And they think that it's climate change, or they think that Trump somehow had some sort of influence in bringing about these fires from his previous administration. And so this is where the spiritual battle takes place, though, right? The deception that has seeped into many in the political realm. It just seems to me like they're a little bit top heavy on the Democrat side with the deception. But, there are people in the Republican Party too who are equally deceived. But this is why the battle is always about one of principalities, right? We always have go for the hearts and minds and this the spiritual direction, the moral compass of individuals, and keep that as really in mind as the final war, and all these other things we fight, just battles along the war over principalities.
And it's very real. Powers, principalities, forces of darkness, that spiritual dimension that we don't often, and we know it's happening behind the scenes, but when you see some of these demonic agendas, I think that's, to me, that's just evidence of this intense spiritual battle. So let's camp out right here just for the last couple of minutes, Cheryl, and the importance of the church not only being informed, believers in Christ, not only understanding what's happening, but now how can we respond? You said something very important. Let's not put Trump up on a pedestal as far as he's the only one that can sign an executive order and fight this battle. We've got to fight these battles, fighting the good fight of faith every day in whatever sphere of influence we have. Go ahead.
Well, let me answer that by saying there's something that kind of irks me every time a political battle comes around. We hear from the church, they talk about that passage, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and so forth, and I will heal their nation. Well, Christians are very good about praying, but it's the repentance part, right? It's the turning away from the sin that we seem to fall on. And churches in particular don't like to preach on that part, right? They don't like to talk about sin and repentance because they think it's sort of dirty words that will turn away their congregations. Well, that's kind of key, right? I mean, we can pray all day long, God do this, God do that. But unless we're willing to make the decisive action and steps to turn from our sin, why would God bless us? And so when we look at like gay marriage, which isn't a thing, right? First off, calling it gay marriage isn't a thing because God defines marriage. So you have to call it something else if you want to be truthful. But allowing that to go forth without protesting, without sort of throwing in the white flag and saying, well, it's a done deal. What am I supposed to do now? That's not really showing repentance, right? So it's steps like that we can take to show God, we really do want him back in charge, and we're willing to make those uncomfortable, maybe even divisive types of arguments and battles on his behalf.
Thank you. This is why I love you and your viewpoints and having you on. Very important. That does start off by saying, if my people, it's not the world, the secular world, it's the people who love God, God's people, repent. And so it's got to start in the church. Any hope of revival's got to start in the church. Cheryl Chumley, I just love talking with you, catching up with you. WashingtonTimes.com, the book God Given or Bust, Defeating Marxism and Saving America with Biblical Truths. Thanks for putting out such great information, such great books. Well, Lord willing, do this again. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, David, for having me.
You're most welcome. So, friends, get that book, another great one. And thanks so much for sharing the podcast. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.